Al and Elizabeth, great missionaries. I knew them 25 years ago when they were in their early days, and they took quite a few years out for family reasons, and then have reconnected back in again. It's great to see them where their heart is, where God's called them to be, and one of the real tough areas of the world at the moment. So we should keep praying for them.
Yes.
Well, this morning, I'm going to share a short passage of scripture with you, and it's from Genesis chapter 11, 27 through to 12:9. And I want to ask a question before we read that together. How much do you understand the implications of God's purposes for yours and your family's life? I'll say it again. How much do you understand the implications of God's purpose for yours and your family's life? And how would you position your life or your family's life differently if God deepened that understanding of His purpose for you? A couple of deep questions there, but I would like you to keep those in your minds as we go through today. Maybe, I don't know what sort of week you've had. You might have had a mountaintop week. Who's had a mountaintop week this week? Okay, lots of people, all three of you? No. You may have had a real tough week. Or you may have had a steady as she goes kind of week. Whatever kind of place you are today, I pray this message will give you some encouragement on your journey with God. This passage is the start of Abraham's stepping out into God's purposes for his life. And we're going to attempt to answer the questions that I've mentioned will be woven into it. We're going to answer a couple of questions about him. What's Abraham's family story, and what's the significance of that story for us? What did God speak to Abraham in this passage, and what's the significance for us today? And very importantly, how did Abraham respond to what God spoke, what God did at that point in his life, and how does that work into us, to our lives as well? And I want to mention this passage. You'll notice that Abraham, we just know Abraham is Abraham, but actually at this point, he was still called Abram, because it's not until chapter 17 where God changes Abram's name to Abraham, at the point where God made a covenant with him of circumcision and changed Abram's name to Abraham, meaning the father of many. And we can deepen that meaning to become father of many nations. So actually, Abraham, in a sense, is father of the faith for us. He's a type of Christ for us today. So keep those things in mind as we go through the story. So let's read together the passage, and I just want to pray before we do that. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is precious. Your word is pure. It's infallible. It's powerful. And we want to come to you today, Lord, and we want to open our hearts to you and ask you, Lord, to speak to us from your word, that we may draw closer to you, that we may serve you better in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's read together. Genesis 11, from verse 27 through to 12, verse 9, not so many verses. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. Together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. So the title of my message today, a short message, is From Ordinary to Extraordinary. We've just read through this section of Scripture from 11:27 through to 12:9. And now I want to bring us to the first question that we looked at. What's Abraham's family story and what's its relevance? What we see is that God chose Abraham's family for an amazing destiny, which was an ordinary family that had been through its fair share of major life crises and changes. And so it is with us. God continues to choose ordinary families to accomplish extraordinary purposes through them. Let's think about a couple of things in Abraham's family we can see from this scripture. There was a tragic death of Abraham's brother Haran. Let's read it, verse 28. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. He left behind three children that we know of, Lot, Milcah, Iscah. We don't know what happened to him. A tragic accident. Could have been an illness. Could have been a battle he was in. Maybe playing swords or something. Who knows? Could have been a major conflict with another family. Second thing, Abraham and Sarah tried for years, but couldn't have children. And verse 30, another major family issue. Thirdly, Terah the father decides to gather up half the family and head to another land to live. Wow. We don't know the reasons why the father Terah decided to do this. Maybe there wasn't enough room for all the family to be there, and the herds and flocks and so on. Maybe there were tensions between him and his son, and Nahor. Or maybe the land was just too idolatrous, and he just felt like he had to get out of Ur of the Chaldeans and get going somewhere else. Whatever the reason, it was a big family change. And finally, in Haran, Terah himself died, and that's another big family thing to go through when a parent dies. I experienced that a year and a half ago, and it's a difficult time, but also it was a very special time walking with God through those months. So how about your family and my family? What kinds of major life challenges, struggles, and pain have we been through in our family? Think about that for a moment. Anyone here been trouble-free completely in your family? Hands up. Oh, praise the Lord. We're in the same boat. But the question is, how has God been present for you during those tough times? The death of loved ones, sickness, relationship breakdowns, drugs, alcohol abuse, whatever struggles and pains have been happening in your family, it's normal. I mean, you know, every family goes through stuff. Some go through a whole lot of stuff, and you think, God, why so much? You know, others maybe not so much, but every family goes through stuff. The good news I want to share from this passage is that God is not looking for the perfect family or individual before he starts working with them. Rather, he wants us as individuals and families to come as we are, with all the struggles, imperfections, and he will do something beautiful in our family, in us, if we'll let him. He will use us for his divine, glorious, and noble purposes. Like a garden bringing forth, you know, seasons of fresh flowers after the rain and the sun, God never gives up on our garden, on us. He never gives up. He can bring beauty out of ashes. God works with ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary exploits for him. And New Testament teaches us that we today, as followers of Christ, are actually Abraham's spiritual descendants. Think about Galatians 2, 7 to 8. What does it say here? Understand then that those who have faith are are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Wow. The gospel goes right back to Abraham. The redemptive plan for mankind was working right there in Abraham's life at this time. All nations will be blessed through you. So this leads us to our next question then. What did God speak to Abraham, and what's the significance for us? Well, God told Abraham to leave his homeland, to go where he would show him, and promised to make his family into a great nation from which all peoples of the earth would be blessed. Wow. And today, through Christ, we, as part of the family of God, we are part of God's family, we're part of his church, and we are spiritual children of Abraham, have also inherited these promises to receive, to be receivers of the blessing of God, and to be a blessing to others, to the ends of the earth. So let's unpack it a little bit more. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. So even at this time, when Abraham and Sarai were still childless, no income, no job, no security, God promised he'd make them into a great nation and would bless them for the purpose of being a blessing to all peoples. Even though some things may seem impossible to you right now, with God, all things are possible. How did Abraham feel in that particular situation? Looking over Canaan? The Canaanites are all there, and they're the kings, the armies. And yet, this great promise comes. And this great promise comes to you as well. God may have spoken promises to you that seemed impossible, but nothing is impossible to Him. Amen. The blessing of God may or may not include material blessing. For example, Paul. Paul wasn't too caught up in materialism, actually. He was content whether he had a lot or whether he didn't have a lot. The real blessing is the spiritual blessing that comes to our lives. It's what really counts. Ephesians 3, 20, 21 says, I'll just read it. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that's working us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Yes. Today, as members of Christ's church, we are truly blessed. We are a holy nation and given the divine purpose to be a blessing, to live good lives before the Lord and to declare His good news. Matthew Henry, the free commentary on the internet. He says, good men are the blessings of their country. Good men are the and women. Good men and women are the blessings of their country. One Peter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Amen. A holy nation. We are a holy nation. Next part of that section was, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. With the blessing of God comes both protection and favor.
Wow, praise God.
Some years ago, talking about the protection side of it, there was a city in the country where we work, and a little church there, which we've partnered with for many years, and they wanted to build a fence around the church property to help them define where they were, because there were disputes going on. And all the neighbors agreed, apart from one person, and he was sort of ringleader. And he decided, he came to a point, it went on for months and months and months, and he said, over my dead body, I will give my consent for you. And you know what? The next morning, he was found dead, and whatever, there were evil people in the city, and he was a bad man himself, but God took him out of the way, and then the permission was granted, the church got on with what they were doing. God's favor, protection comes to His people, to His church. Did you know that with the blessing of God also comes this protection and favor to your lives? Have you noticed it? Have you seen it working? On the cross, Christ defeated the enemy once for all. As we heard recently at Easter, it is finished. Paid in full. That's another way to explain that. Your sin, my sin, paid in full. And if we are walking with God and putting His armor on, as we should, His protection is with us, His favor is upon us. Many people say to me, is it safe where you go in the country where I work? And I usually say, well, the safest place in the world is in the will of God. If it's not the will of God to be where you are right now, that's not a very safe place. Amen? Even applies to Afghanistan and Pakistan. That's a different level. I'm very blessed by Sue's words some weeks ago. Final part of the promise crowns all the rest of the promise. It says, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's promise to Abraham was that the blessing of God stretch to the ends of the earth, reaching all peoples. And we see today in the church that the gospel is rapidly going to the ends of the earth in the power of the Spirit, and this is being fulfilled as we sit here. And as we see that today in the church, missions is such a key part. Amen. I believe mission should be part of the DNA of every church. Both missions on our doorstep and to the farthest corners of the globe, where millions still today sit in spiritual darkness, never heard the name of Jesus. When the church has finished its task, we get a glimpse of the result in Revelations 7:9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, and no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What a wonderful picture of the body of Christ at the end. And looking out today, I just think, wow, so many nations in this room today. We are the fruits of the promises that came to Abraham today. If I ask, where have you come from? Europe, Asia, Africa, America, Australia? Where have you? I think probably all the nations are represented here. Final question from this passage. How did Abraham respond to God, and how does it challenge us today? Abraham responded in two ways. First, by getting up and going. And secondly, by building an altar to the Lord and calling on his name. As followers of Christ today, we are to go where he leads, do what he wants, commit ourselves to God, to God wholeheartedly, play our part in fulfilling this great call that first came to Abraham and which Christ commanded his disciples and us today to fulfill. To your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord. God came and appeared to Abraham and confirmed his promise, saying, this land's going to be yours. And Abraham, in response, built an altar to the Lord. Israel were the first fruits, the firstborn son of this fulfillment of promise. The nations is the whole family. Abraham received confirmation of this promise and built the altar. What he was doing was acknowledging God's visit with him through an act of worship, thankfulness, showing dependence on God in the midst of mighty challenge ahead. Because as I said, remember that the Canaanites inhabited the land. There were going to be challenges, but Abraham knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was with him and that the promises of God are yes and amen. Let's live in the promises of God. Let's not live in the lies of the enemy. Jesus gave a great challenge to his disciples before he left. Matthew 28, 18, 20. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't it comforting to know that Christ is with us every day, every moment of every day, until that those promises are completely fulfilled and we'll be with him in glory?
Amen.
How much are we willing to respond as Abraham did, full of faith in the promise and wholeheartedly giving ourselves to the Lord for his purposes? Let's consider that seriously and think, God, I want to give you my whole life for your purposes, whatever the cost. So to recap then, three things to remember from this passage that I have come out of it as we studied it. First, God uses ordinary individuals and families to achieve extraordinary purposes. Secondly, as Christ's followers and Abraham's spiritual children, we are blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
We're not just blessed to be blessed. It's not for ourselves. It's to pass on.
Amen.
And we have received his protection, favor, and have a mandate to reach all peoples with the gospel. And lastly, as Abraham did, we must step out of our comfort zones by faith to do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
Amen? So as we just close, I want to throw out a challenge. Maybe today God has been speaking to you. Maybe today you haven't even started walking life of faith yet. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed in him? Have you been born again? And has your life been changed? If it hasn't, I want to give you an opportunity. God will come and meet with you and will turn your life upside down, as he did for the rest of us here. And your life will never be the same again, living in the purposes of God. Is there anyone here this morning who'd like to give your life to Jesus? Just as everyone bows your heads and close your eyes, I'd just like to invite you to put up your hand, and I would like to pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning? You felt the call of God for the first time in your life. Any hands? Anybody here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And maybe today you sense a fresh challenge from God. He's asking, are you willing to go where I show you? Are you willing to get out of the status quo, out of your comfort zone, to where I'm calling you? If that's you this morning and you want to just recommit yourself to that calling, I just invite you to put up your hand, and I would like to pray for us this morning, those things. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Any others? You just want to recommit yourself into the purposes of God, to live in the promises of God, and to see those promises work out in your life and in your family's life. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you today, and we come to you as a church, Lord. We come to you as your body. We come to you as the children of Abraham, the fruits that have come down through the ages. We come to you as Christ's followers, redeemed of the Lord. And Lord, we want to have a heart like our Father Abraham here. He wasn't perfect, but Lord, he had a heart after you. And we want to be your followers, Lord, filled with your Spirit, to fulfill the purpose you have for each of our lives. And not only for us as individuals, but for our families as well. We want our families to make a difference. We want our children to grow up, to be servants of you, Lord, to be lovers of God all the way through life. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen.